glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, April 10th, 2025. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today I want to introduce you to Justin Krohn. Justin has started a ministry called The Kesher Project, and it delves into all things Jewish. And Justin has some roots in the Jewish community, and he brings all of that fullness to us today. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Justin.
Thank you, Donna. Great to be with you and your listeners today.
Wonderful. We just are going to delve into what you've been doing now and help us wrap our brain around some really huge issues. We hear about them in the news. We hear bits and pieces. We see people protesting. We see flags. And I just want to get kind of down to the bottom of it and help our listeners figure this thing out. So could we start with the relationship that we see blowing up in the news between Palestinians and Israel? Can you give us that in, you know, a nutshell? You know, take 5,000 years of problem and could you just put it into,
It is a complex conflict, but at the same time, it can also be very simplified. So at its core, it really is a conflict over whose God is the greatest God, or the real God. So there is a real underlying spiritual element to this, a theological, a religious war that's occurring that manifests itself in geopolitical ways. And the conflict, as we know, is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, is a conflict over who has a right to this land that both people see as sacred. We know in Scripture that God has promised a land to the people of Israel, that land we know as Israel. They were scattered in the first and second centuries to the four corners of the earth, and there has been a longing within the Jewish nation to return to that land. Geopolitical circumstances, and I would say by the hand of God, the United Nations voted in favor of the people of Israel returning to their land and having independence. In fact, just to be clear, many of them had already returned. There's been a continual presence of Jewish people living in the land of Israel that had been renamed Palestine by the Romans in the second century. So we have now a nation that's been reborn. Well, that land, to many Muslims, is also seen as sacred territory. Within Muslim ideology, any land that had been conquered by Muslims is now considered consecrated to Allah and is forever to be under the control of Muslims. The Turkish Ottoman Empire was ruled by Sunni Muslims prior to the end of World War I, where then Britain took over. And there's been a push, a quest to retain that sovereignty by Muslims ever since. And so when we look at the war today, the conflict today, it really is a continuation of this decision that was made to grant Jews sovereignty, self-determination within their ancestral homeland, this is what we're seeing manifested. And I'll say this. I mean, I think it's very clear as we understand Scripture, and just, you know, I think if we just look at history, I mean, any ancestral people, we should support their right to have self-determination within their ancestral homeland, especially a people that's been persecuted all over the world, as the Jewish people have been. But I think biblically, we see that God is very much in favor of Jews being in the land. In fact, he made promises of such. And so the spiritual conflict here is that really whatever God is for, we should not be surprised that the enemy is going to be against it. And he is raging against that. in our day. And so that's what we're seeing manifested in the news and in the media.
Okay, that makes sense. Another thing is, I think why the fight is so intense is because there is future prophecy about that land. And I think people think if they hold the land, they'll hold the power, and somehow they will have access and control of the God of Israel. And we saw that play out in the Old Testament, where people, you know, they knew that power and God were associated with a particular location. So I'm wondering if that, you know, satanic influence isn't coming into play.
Yeah, I think that's very much what's at play here. And so we're really, you know, seeing this religious conflict play out, and whose God is the sovereign God. And we know with Hamas, they've made it very, very clear that their aspiration is the complete destruction of Israel, to wipe Israel off the map from the river to the sea. They have very effectively positioned themselves as the one who has been oppressed by Israel. And so Israel has really been, in the eyes of many, turned into this evil enemy. Israel has been accused of apartheid. They've been accused of the colonization of someone else's land. And to be clear, there has never been a sovereign state of Palestine. It's not as if the UN took somebody else's state and then decided to partition it back in 1947-48. This was land that had previously been a part of the Turkish Ottoman Empire that collapsed. So there's a lot of misinformation. This misinformation and distortion of history, rewriting of history, has been happening now for decades. We've seen the shift occurring among many people, including those in the church. In fact, that was part of what motivated me to get more involved in this issue, is seeing many Christians, I think, buy into the lies and the distortions, and even many of the blood libels that are being thrown at Israel today.
Yeah, I'm watching it play out in real time. But what about this? So we know that in the end times, of which we don't know when they will be here, everyone will be turning against Israel. We know
yes.
that for sure. That's what's going to create that moment where God is going to step in, and he is going to be their source, their right arm. So do you see that happening? Do you think this is all kind of doing the funnel towards that rejection of Israel?
It is happening in real time. In fact, I would say it's happening much quicker than I anticipated. What we saw happen after October 7th, and thousands and thousands of people out on the streets within 24 to 48 hours in support of Hamas. I mean, even at Harvard University, over 30 student organizations at the evening of October 7th, put out a statement that started with, "We, the undersigned students, hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for the unfolding violence."
I'll say that. Wait a minute. When did that come out?
That came out at about midnight on October 7th, so almost midnight of October 8th.
How did they get that many people with signatures so organized? That's weird.
It's a really good question. But this movement has been very organized now for several years. So there was Barry Weiss. She's the founder of the Free Press. She had published an article the evening of October 7th that started with the words, "You are about to withstand a barrage of lies about the war that broke out today in Israel. Some of those lies will be explicit," she said. "Some of them will be lies of omission, others of misinformation, etc." So why did she write that? She wrote that because there has been a pattern now for several years that when Israel is attacked and then retaliates, that somehow then Israel ends up getting blamed.
Yeah.
That Israel is seen then as the oppressor of the Palestinian people. And so this pattern that's been happening has caused a lot of people to buy into this kind of oppressor narrative, and sadly Israel is seen as the evil one.
Yeah. So I totally get that's what your heart is to bring back to the forefront that Jesus was Jewish and that we have so much to be thankful for Israel. I mean, yeah, they had some up and downs, but they stayed faithful. You know, that remnant that did what they needed to do to get done, that ability for Jesus to then come here on planet Earth. And, you know, it's just still such a beautiful story. And I know your heart longs for us to just kind of dig into that a little deeper. So just share with us some of the real passionate points. I know you've been very active in creating some wonderful media for people to dig into. You did one documentary and now you're working on another.
Yeah, so the mission of the Kesher Project is to connect Christians to the Jewish roots of their faith and to their Jewish friends and neighbors. First and foremost, I think it's very important that we embrace Jesus for who he is. And he clearly revealed himself as a Jewish rabbi in Nazareth. And so it's very good for us to acknowledge and affirm Jesus's Jewish identity and to, I think, put on our Jewish glasses when we approach the scriptures. At the same time, I think it's very important that we remember that Jesus called us to love our neighbor. And that, of course, includes our Jewish neighbors. And so part of loving our Jewish neighbors today is standing against anti-Semitism in whatever form it may be. And today, the most significant form of anti-Semitism, we could call it anti-Zionism, the rejection of the nation state of the Jewish people. And so in seeing this trend and many people adopting an anti-Israel view, a good friend of mine, Todd Moorhead, and I decided to make a film to help Christians and even non-Christians better understand the complexities of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And so we produced a film that released back in May of 21 called Hope in the Holy Land, with the subtitle Delving Beneath the Surface of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. And the film went on to receive several awards and some very nice endorsements. In fact, after October 7th, that film became the best-selling film on Prime Video related to the conflict, and is still doing very well. In fact, I have to boast a little bit. It's the only film about the conflict that still has a 5-star rating.
Wow. So, well, okay, so you must have done something right for people not to go after you.
Yeah, right. We do have a few of those comments there too, but you know that's to be expected. Yeah. So after October 7th, well, in fact, I should say before October 7th, we decided that we wanted to do a series, a kind of a continuing series on the conflict, just simply called Hope in the Holy Land, the series. And so we released the first episode of that series on September 1st of 2023. Well, everybody knows what happened 37 days later, October 7. And we realized immediately that we needed to pivot and figure out how we were going to address those events. Because you can't really do a series about the conflict, without covering October 7. So we decided that we were going to make a new film, which we've completed. It hasn't been released yet. It's called October 7, Bearing Witness to the Massacre. Hopefully it'll be out sometime before October 7 this year. People can host pre-screenings if they want. If you're a church, an organization, and you want to host a pre-screening, we definitely welcome doing that. But that brings Todd on a continuing journey of just bearing witness to the events of October 7th. And so it's an incredibly powerful and moving film. With our film, we did something that some of the other October 7 films have not done, which is cover the history and background of Gaza, helping people understand what is the ideology, what is the motivation of Hamas, what are their roots, where do they come from? And so it provides that historical context that I think has been missing in a lot of the dialogue. related to October 7th. Our focus at the moment is trying to help as many people understand those events. Because, listen, I think you probably know this, within days, people were denying that October, the massacre even occurred.
Yeah. And you know, then they were pinning it on Israel, saying Israel did that to their own people. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, just absolutely horrible accusations.
Yeah.
You know, so we've seen, you know, there's Holocaust denial in our world, and then there's now October 7th denial, and so we think it's really important that people know the facts, that they know the truth. We feel that that's our responsibility as Christians.
Yeah, it just feels like we're on the right side of history whenever we support Israel. You know, God's chosen people, he did choose to bring Messiah through them, even if they're not acknowledging Messiah. And yet, God has a future plan. See, that's what excites me the most, you know, that we have details of how God is going to work. And I don't want to get in between that.
Yeah, when we have God's promise of his faithfulness to the people of Israel. In Jeremiah 31, which is known as the New Covenant, it's very clear. Let me read this from Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 38. I absolutely love this. We read, "This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease from being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all of the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord."
Ooh. Wow.
It doesn't get any clearer than that.
It's as clear as you get.
So,
wow. Look up at the sun and say to yourself, yeah, you know what? Israel is real and will be so until that goes away.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out here that God says, in spite of all they have done. So it's not contingent upon their behavior.
Yeah.
So even in spite of maybe their disobedience, maybe in spite of not executing a perfect war in Gaza, which, by the way, no army in the history of the world has ever executed a perfect war. But in spite of whatever it is that they do, he's going to keep his promise to Israel, to be faithful to Israel, that they will forever be a nation before him. So anyone who comes against Israel, I mean, there was a poll back in December of 23 that revealed that 51% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe that the long-term solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is for Israel to give all of the land back to the Palestinians, to basically cease to exist.
Yeah.
And recent polls show that one out of five Americans support Hamas over Israel. Think about that. That poll just came out a couple of weeks ago. And so there are many who are standing against Israel. They're standing against God.
Yeah.
That is not the position I would recommend anyone takes.
No, I don't want to be on that side for sure. And again, our heart goes out to the innocents who are being hurt in this conflict on both sides. Unfortunately, you know, the women, the children, they probably didn't have a say into having Hamas being their leader. So they just got caught up in all of this. So the children and the other innocents, they're just, you know, collateral damage on both sides.
And it's heartbreaking because to think that not one woman, not one child, not one human being would have been killed if Hamas had not invaded and massacred 1,200 Israeli civilians, including women and children, and then took hostage 251 Israeli people, and not just Israelis. But to think, and there's remaining, there's 59 hostages still there today. Mm-hmm. All they have to do, they could have done this on October 8th, is just say, you know, here are all the hostages back. We want this to end. We accept your right to exist, and this would be over. Sadly, as Hamas has said itself, we love death more than Israel loves life.
Yeah, it's so painful to watch, and I think people are just, you know, compassion exhausted. They're just like, oh, could this conflict stop? And I think that will be some of that energy that people will be pushing on Israel and just trying to get that quick fix. They want the peace. You know, that's what they'll be crying out for, the peace at any price.
At any price.
And still, God is in control, and there's some exciting stuff ready at the end there with Israel. And, you know, I don't know that much about it. I dabbled in a little bit of it, but it just feels like some things are coming into play. I have to ask you, how is the third temple shaping up? Is it real? Red heifer, you know, high priest garments, any intel on that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that there is a group of Israelis, religious Israelis, who are preparing for that moment in history, some who are even attempting to worship, to pray on the Temple Mount today, which is illegal by the Islamic Waqf that controls the Temple Mount. And there's some dispute and debate within Israeli religious society about whether or not Jews should be doing that. But there are some who are preparing, I guess you could say, preparing the way for this third temple. And so I do think that we will see that happen at some time in history. Exactly when, again, we don't know, but the foundation is certainly being laid for it.
Now, if they want to follow your ministry and take a little deeper look into what you've got resourced for them, how do they contact you?
Yeah, I would say if you want to go to our ministry website, you can go to Kesher Project. That's Kesher Project.com.
We've been enjoying Justin Krohn. He is the founding director of the Kesher Forum, as well as the lead on a couple wonderful documentaries. It's all available at the Kesher Project. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. Great to be with you.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of our Mike and Friends program. All of these programs are archived. You can find it on our website. Thanks again. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media.